Let's pray the Holy One shows up. If he shows up, everything will be all right. And if he doesn't show up, then we'll just be here and we'll go home. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Chapter number 14, Isaiah chapter 14, and verse number 12. Father, Lord, give me wisdom now and the gift of teaching. As we open your word, Lord, you know I believe it. I believe the Bible. And I pray now that you bless the study of it. In thy name we pray. Amen. All right, now in Isaiah chapter number 14 and verse 12. The scripture says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. In the sides of the north I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Now, having read Isaiah chapter number 14 about Lucifer, is there any doubt in your mind how the Bible cast him? A good light or a bad light? Which one? Yeah, there's nothing good about Lucifer in the Bible. Nothing good. Now, we've got three terms this morning that we need to deal with because these are important to understand how Christians see the Bible and how the occult world sees the Bible. Satan, devil, and Lucifer. These are three names that are very important in your understanding of the Scripture. And each one of them means something entirely different. The word Lucifer means light bearer. The word Satan Satan is a Hebrew word. Now, Lucifer is a Latin word, but Satan is a Hebrew word, and it means adversary. Devil is a Greek word. Diablos could be traced back to the Greek, and it means a hinderer, like a filthy thing, something of that nature, a menacing. Spirit, devil. Now, depending on your attitude toward the Bible and how you read Scripture and understand it, it will determine what your attitude is toward Lucifer or Satan or the devil. Now, a Christian has no problem in saying that Lucifer is Satan, who is the devil. I've never really met a Christian who didn't see it that way.
Right.
Lucifer is Satan, who is the devil. All right. Now, in the context of how it's used in the Bible, it's quite a thing. That's quite a different study in itself, just to go to the Scriptures and see how these three words are used in the Bible. Because the word Satan, for example, a Hebrew word, sometimes does not refer to a person or the devil. It may refer to a person. Like when Rehoboam and Jeroboam took over the throne of Solomon, when he died, the Bible said God raised up an adversary. Well, the Hebrew word translated adversary there is Satan. But it doesn't mean the devil. As used in the context, it's talking about an adversary, a man that is an adversary. So when I say Lucifer, I'm speaking in the highest term that you could possibly speak in the occult world when it refers to a spiritual being. These people sincerely believe that Lucifer has been maligned and that the Christian Bible and the Christian God, they like to cast it that way, has been very, very unfair to the history and understanding of Lucifer. And I'm going to read a few quotes for you, And you'll get the idea of what we're talking about here when we're talking about Lucifer. Manly P. Hall, an occultist, says, when the Mason learns that the key to the warrior on the block is the proper application of the dynamo of living power, he has learned the mystery of his craft. The seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands. And before he may step onward and upward, he must prove his ability to properly apply energy. I hereby promise the great spirit Lucifuge, prince of demons, that each, now this is an invocation that they say they sign with their own blood and bring themselves into a covenant agreement. And here's what they say. I hereby promise the great spirit Lucifuge, prince of demons, that each year I will bring unto him a human soul to do with as it may please him. And in return, Lucifuge promises to bestow upon me the treasures of the earth and fulfill my every desire for the length of my natural life. If I fail to bring him each year the offering specified above, then my own soul shall be forfeit to him, signed by whoever enters into this agreement. The agreement means, therefore, that if I sell my soul to Satan, that I will receive unlimited wealth, riches, fame, notoriety, everything this world has to offer. Eliphaz Levi, in the 1800s, created an image of Baphomet. And you've seen the image. I'm sure you have if you've done any research at all. And here's a quotation from this man. What is more absurd and more impious than to attribute the name of Lucifer to the devil? That is, to personified evil. The intellectual Lucifer is the spirit of intelligence and love. It is the paraclete. It is the Holy Spirit. Where the physical Lucifer is the great angel of universal magnetism. Now just kind of let that settle in for a while. Because these people are speaking on a high level in the occult world. And that's their take on Lucifer. Now here's what Albert Pike said. Lucifer the light bearer, exclamation mark. Strange and mysterious name to give to the spirit of darkness. Lucifer, the son of the morning. Is it he who bears the light? And with its splendors, intolerable blinds, feeble, sensual, or selfish souls? Doubt it not. In plain words, when you live on this fleshly level that 99% of the people do, that the light of Lucifer is so bright that it'll blind you, that you've got to be carried up out of that by initiation, by stages, where you can really begin to understand what's really going on in the spirit world. That's Albert Pike. The devil is the personification of atheism and idolatry. Now, here he is talking about the devil. For the initiates, this is not a person, but a force, created for good, but which may serve for evil. It is the instrument of liberty or free will. They represent this force, which presides over the physical generation, under the mythological and horned form of the goat Pan. Thence came the he-goat of the Sabbat, brother of the ancient serpent, and light-bearer of Phosphor, of which the poets have made the false Lucifer of the legend. The true name of Satan, the Kabbalists say, is God reversed. For Satan is not a black god, but a negation of God. The Kabbalah imagined him to be a most occult light. And he continues, that which we must say to the crowd. Now follow me on this. It's very important to understand. And it's just like the government, it's like everything else. They give you that which is for public consumption, but they communicate with themselves on a much higher level. In plainer words, it's the old semantics. That word that they use to communicate with you doesn't mean the same thing to them. And that's where they've got you. Because if you live in a very simplistic world where you believe what they say, they've already fooled you. And that's exactly what's happening. People are listening to these people and believing them. Here's what Pike says. That which we must say to the crowd is, we worship a God, but it is the God that one adores with superstition, without superstition. It is the God that one adores without superstition. To you, sovereign grand inspectors general, we say this, that you may repeat it to the brethren of the 32nd, 31st, and 30th degrees, the Masonic religion should be, by all of us initiates of the high degrees, maintained in the purity of the Luciferian doctrine. If Lucifer were not God, would Adonai, whose deeds prove his cruelty, perfidy, hatred of man, barbarism, and repulsion for science, would Adonai and his priest calumniate him? Now let me stop right there for a moment. Here's what this man just said. He said that Lucifer is on so much of a higher level than the Christian God. Because the Christian God, Adonai, is the Old Testament Yahweh or Jehovah. And he is a cruel despot. He is a murdering devil. He wipes out whole villages of people, tribes of people. And he is the God of the Jew of the Old Testament. Now that's what they believe. That's what they say. Some of them will say it to your face, but they will make no mistake about it. That's what they believe about your Old Testament and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And anybody that says anything else and doesn't accept that, you're very naive. These people are vicious in their assault on the Scripture and the God of the Bible. And they love to take the Old Testament God, and they love to take him and use him as a straw man, a whipping boy, to push their agenda that Lucifer is so much more benevolent, such a wonderful creature of light, so much higher in order than the Christian God. Now, when they do this and you accept that, you buy into that, what's happened to you? Number one, you've thrown the Bible out. Number two, you don't have the true and living God. Number three, you'll never be saved with that kind of an attitude. Because salvation only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is only the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible. Not the Christ of the Gnostic Gospels. Not the Christ of Mohammed. But the Christ of the Word of the living God. There's a vast difference in them. This is why he said, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. The Scriptures you referred to were the Old Testament books of Genesis through Malachi. And that's very important to understand, that the occult world sees us as ignorant, blind, stumbling about in superstition. Albert Pike says it is not the God of superstition that we preach. It is the God of enlightenment that we preach. Now, I'm laying the foundation here right now with all this. I'm laying the foundation for you to understand what the crowd up there at the very top believes. The ones who are pulling the strings. When in January they swear in a new president in this country, it doesn't make any difference if it's Barack, if it's Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. When it comes to the actual administration of power, because they will be at the very top. There may be some local changes. There may be some cosmetic changes. It is a fact, from at least from what I can tell, that Trump is a nationalist and Hillary Clinton is a globalist. I just heard on the news this morning that the Koch brothers, K-O-C-H, you know how many know I'm talking about, multi-billionaires, will not support Trump. They are apparently going to support Hillary Clinton. Why? Because they are globalist. And these people are the elite, the movers and shakers of the Republican Party. You got to get it in your head that both parties in this country are as corrupt as they can be. To the bone.
And they will never save you. They're Caesar in just different forms. But it's the same thing. But what's happened is that Trump has put a little spin on it that hasn't been the case up until now, because from what he says, he is a nationalist. In other words, he's looking out for the welfare of Americans. And I'll just say to you right now, as I say it time and time and time and time again, I don't know what he will bring to this country if he's voted in. He may turn out to be good, and he may turn out to be the worst devil that we've ever had. Why? Because Trump may be a Trojan horse. He may be a Trojan horse. That he goes in with the vote and support of the people who want to change in the country and looking for something. And then once he's in there, everything may change. I don't know. I don't know him. How many, is there anybody in this house this morning put your life on Trump? I'll put mine on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who I'm trusting. Amen. But I'm a pragmatist. And being a pragmatist, I'll tell you right now, right fast, real fast, that Hillary Clinton is going to take you nowhere but this way. That's all she'll do with this nation. All right, now let's come back to what we're talking about. The elite are above Hillary Clinton, and they're above Trump, and they're above prime ministers, and they're above kings, and they're above presidents. They're above all of it. They're up there at the top, and they've been up there, and they're going to stay up there, and it's like a pyramid. And there's three levels to that pyramid. The very top level, and it's a small, very, very, very small percentage of the people in the world, are the ones who are calling the shots. And then the next layer down are the ones that appear to be the leaders of the world. The presidents, the prime ministers, the kings, the queens, the parliaments, what have you. Brussels, the seat of the EU, or Washington, or London, whatever. And then the next level down in that pyramid, which is the vast size of the pyramid, are the, what did he call them? What did he call them? What did Pike just call them? The herd? What did he call them? Let's go back and get Pike here. What do you call them? This is what we say to the crowd. All right. To the crowd. Like Marie Antoinette said, let them eat cake. As the old Roman senator said, give them their circus and their bread. How many agree with that? How many agree with me this morning that the average American's interested in nothing but his circus and his bread? That's a fact. And so this is where we stand. They've done the job. No question about it. They've done a good job at it. But it's been a long time coming. And these people, like a Fabian socialist, how many know what a... You take a Fabian socialist, he's a different bird than, say, someone like the Bolsheviks in the early part of the 1900s when they overthrew the Russian government and killed and executed the Tsar and his wife and his children, took him into a room and shot them to death. You ever see a picture of his daughters? The Tsar Nicholas, beautiful little girls. They went in there and they blew them away and they overthrew the Russian government. All right. That's a form of communism and socialism right there. But there's another form that most people don't know about. It's called the Fabian socialist. And the Fabian socialist is someone who infiltrates your government and your culture. And it may take him 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years to do what he intends to do. And he passes it on to the next generation. But over a period of time, they undermine until they bring about the desired result. That's what's been going on in this country. When they started in the public school system, they began to undermine it and they begin to take away from it. Patriotism, they don't teach the kids history anymore. Kids comes out of there, they're not educated. They're brainwashed. They've been created into global citizens. If anything, this election has definitely done this. It has brought to the forefront the issue of globalism. I've never heard it said so many times. I've never seen it made public as much as it has. Globalism. How many of you never heard of globalism 4 or 5 years ago? But now, every time you read anything, it's about globalism. And this is what I say about the Koch brothers. They are globalist. This is what I say about the Speaker of the House of Representatives. He's a globalist. And one of the easy ways to tell who a globalist is they want open borders. Amen. That's globalism. Yes. TPP, did you know that Obama, Trans-Pacific Partnership, is NAFTA on steroids. That's what it's been called. Did you know that he is pushing that quietly right now? He's pushing TPP before he goes out of office. So what does that make Obama? A globalist. What's a globalist? A one world government. And if you believe your Bible, read Revelation 13, you know that there is coming a one world ruler over a one world government. And it's here. And this is probably the election that will make all the difference. Because it's right in your face now. And you see it. Yes, sir.
I think they got a lot of their ideas as I read through the Bible. What they're doing, like Absalom stood in the game for 40 years. He was handsome. He used to reach the people. That's how he took over the people.
He was long-haired, wasn't he? Yeah. He sure did. He said, now my dad did this, but I do this. He said, my dad doesn't know as well as I do how to run this country. Sure he did. Sure he did. Sure he did. And when he did put his coup in force, he took his father's concubines and went up on top of a house right in front of the whole country. And of course, I think one of the reasons for one of the points in that is the simple fact is I'm making a break. What I'm doing will never be forgiven. This is it. You get behind me or forget it. And the country is mine now. And I'm the boss man. And so it went. But did you know that a tree out there, an oak tree in the middle of nowhere, was the end of Abishalom? Got his hair cut. All right. So we have, here's Arthur Edward Waite. Here's what he said. First conjuration addressed to Emperor Lucifer. Emperor Lucifer, master and prince of rebellious spirits, I adjure thee to leave thine abode in whatsoever quarter of the world it may be situated, and come hither to communicate with me. I command and adjure thee, Emperor Lucifer, as the representative of the mighty living God and by the power of Emmanuel, his only son. Now you're listening to this. Are you noticing how that they're connecting Lucifer with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, they're confounding identities. How many of you are aware of the fact that these new Bible dictionaries that are coming out now are confounding the idea of the identity of Lucifer? The son of the morning, the bright morning star? Is there a difference between the son of the morning and the bright morning star? Absolutely. Which one is the right one? The what? The bright morning star. Son of the morning's the devil. But that's the way it works. It works by what's called psyops. It works by messing with your mind. Amen. Now, some of you in here this morning may still be having a trouble with the Mandela effect. And I've mentioned it time again. I get all kinds of stuff. People are really upset over the Mandela effect. And it seems to be shaking their faith in the Bible. Notice carefully, in the Bible. And that is undoubtedly one of the most sinister assaults on the scripture, because it is a backdoor type thing. The Mandela effect. And to quickly give you a synopsis of it, quickly, it is the idea is that that through CERN that they've reached portals in time, and by going back in time, they've changed your Bible, and being able to travel in time, they go back in time and they change the Bible, and the Bible that you've got in your hands right now is not the true Word of God. That's the idea in the Mandela effect, in a nutshell. Now, if you buy into that, if you buy into the fact that the Bible you've got in your hands is not the true Word of God, then where are you going to turn? You see, and I don't buy into that. As I told you before about the scroll of Isaiah, 57 feet long, the copy of it they've got at the Dome of the Book, it's about 300 B.C. That's only 400 years removed from the original text. And it says, the wolf shall lie down with the lamb, Isaiah chapter number 11. Listen to this right here. Now, here are two women. These are very smart women. Very, very smart women. I want to see if you can tell the difference in the spirit of these women. Now, listen to this testimony. I find it important to state that although I am a Christian, I am not one of those hidebound fundamentalists, the literalist and legalist, who believe that everything written in the Bible, and then she puts in parenthesis, which one, is the inerrant Word of God. That's a mouthful. She continues, I have a large collection of Bibles and other non-canonical scripture, all of which I read and study. However, whatever value and spiritual truth I find in the scriptures is only revealed to me by the Holy Spirit, who speaks to me not only through the scriptures, but through visions, dreams, and directly through my heart. That's dangerous, dangerous, dangerous testimony. Number one, she said that if you're a fundamentalist, you're hidebound. I haven't been able to look that up yet. I didn't have time before I got out of the house. Anybody know what hidebound means? Hidebound. That's the first time I've heard that. Hidebound. I'm a hidebound fundamentalist. All right. So what's a fundamentalist? It's somebody that believes what the Bible says is true. Okay. Now, she says she's a Christian. All right. Listen to the statement of her church. A Christ-centered spiritual home where the Word and love of God is the foundation of our worship, education, fellowship, and community service. We affirm Christ's presence in all persons. Nurture and support a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, and faithfully give of ourselves in time, talents, and treasures in response to God's abundant gifts. See how they complement each other? Christ is not in everybody, folks. He's not in everybody. Everybody is not your brother or your sister. They're not. They're not. If that's the case, what's he talking about in John 8:44 when he said, "You are of your father, the devil"? No, they're not my brother. They're not my sister. The only one who is really my brother and really my sister is that one that is born of the Spirit of the living God. That's the only one. And you may not have been born of God yet. And you may be hearing the word of God for 20 or 30 years in a church house. And you may have been to every revival meeting you can find, been in every church in Knoxville. You may have been through the religious mill and still don't know the Lord. I'm not up here to criticize you. Not at all. To know the Lord Jesus Christ in this age today where we've got cafeteria religion on every hand. Everybody believes something. It is so easy to be inundated with all kinds of false, perverted ideas about God. And it's so easy for all that to happen. So how do I know then, preacher? What do I turn to for truth? Well, don't turn to your church. Don't turn to your preacher. Don't turn to your family. I don't care how good they are, how well-meaning they are. Don't turn to anybody's book they give you. Take this Bible in your hands. Get on your knees and say, "Lord God, you say this is your word. Then speak to me from this word. Speak to me from this book." Not a Baptist Bible, not a Methodist Bible, not a Church of God Bible, Presbyterian Bible, Episcopalian, Roman Catholic, just a Bible. Speak to me from this book. Be honest enough with yourself and with God to do that. You'll be surprised what happens. You'll be surprised. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And he said in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, the life." Say what now? Well, that's that great prayer in John 17 when he's praying the intercessory prayer for the church.
Yes, he did. Well, yes, ma'am. Okay, now that's a good question. Here's what the occult believes. And I'm going to read some of that for you here in a minute if I don't run out of time. I got a pile of stuff here and trying to get through it's the problem. The occult world believes in a universal spirit. They believe in a universal spirit, however they define it, that resides in all men. It's called a spark of divinity.
In some men or women, that universal spirit has been moved and stirred because they've had contact with a spirit guide or with teaching or some nature like that that's brought them into an understanding of the higher knowledge that can be acquired if you could just plug into that universal spirit. The Hindu does it this way. He sits in a lotus fashion. You've seen it, legs crossed. And the Kundalini yoga spirit that rises up out of the earth into the lower part of his or her body and rises to it, comes up to the top of the head. And that spirit, that snake, begins to contact this universal spirit. And then the chakra right here in the center of the head, third eye, the chakra, they call it the pineal gland, is able to see into the spirit world. Without that chakra, you'll never be able to see in the spirit world. Once you're able to see into the spirit world, then you begin to receive all this initiation knowledge, all of this understanding of the greatness of what you are and what resides in you. Because all of us are God. Every one of us, according to the occult world. And we rise to higher and higher levels of godhood by initiation, by knowledge. You got to know. This is why the Gnostics were so emphatic about their Gnostic Gospels. It was all about knowing this great godhood that is within us, you see. So the idea is that through a process of time, of evolution, of coming up out of the drudge, coming up out of the ditch, and coming up out of the swamp, that man can evolve into godhood. He evolves over a period of time. There's biological evolution that they believe in. I don't believe any of it. But the biological evolution, then there's the spiritual evolution. And this is what these movers and shakers of the world, they believe this stuff. They are Luciferian. When you get into the top echelon of the movers and shakers, they're Luciferian to the core. And here's what Lucifer is to them. Plato talked about a monad. He talked about a spirit. He talked about this spirit presence. And from this was an emanation. Not a change, but this spirit emanated. In other words, gave forth an understandable something where we mere creatures could understand this spirit being. One of them was Sophia. One of them was Lucifer. One of them was the Christ spirit, like we find in the New Testament. Are y'all following me on this stuff? I've gone through this before, but, you know, go back through it again this morning. Get the idea of what's going on. This is what these people believe. Lucifer is a light bearer. He's one of the emanations from the great spirit being up there, the monad. And so, therefore, if you've plugged into Lucifer, you've got a direct connection to the spirit up there. If you've plugged in to the Christ, be careful now what I'm saying. Not the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Christ, the anointing spirit that you can find in Christianity, you've got a direct connection. If you've plugged into Sophia, what do they call that church over there in Istanbul? The Eastern branch of the Roman Catholic Church? How do you know the name of that church? I've mentioned it to you many times. Hagia Sophia. It literally means the church of the holy wisdom. Remember? Wisdom. What was it that the serpent said to them in the garden when he spoke to them? He said, God doth know that in the day you eat this, you shall be as gods, knowing wisdom. All right? The serpent has been from ages past connected with wisdom. Anytime you get into wisdom, you get into Sophia, because that's what the word means. A sophist is a wise one. Sophia means wisdom. So you've got wisdom, you've got the anointing of the Christ, and you've got Lucifer, the light bearer. Look at that Trinity right there. Think about what all is coming forth from this world up here. So he's got a way for everybody, every culture. Makes no difference where you come from. Well, you've got a way in that culture that'll lead you to that spirit that plugs into the mind. It's the universal mind. It's not a person. This spirit up there, this monad that Plato was talking about, is not a person like you're a person. The God of the Bible is a person. See? The God of the Bible is a person. He's a being. But this spirit we're talking about is a force. There's a big difference when you start looking at this stuff like that. And this is this mind that comes down and they can plug into. And this is what these people are talking about in here, that are the movers and shakers and write the books and make the plays and make the movies and all of that. They have plugged into something that was already in them. And then they become God men. All right. They have evolved into God men. And by evolving into God men, they're being saved. It's the Gnostic, Chiliastic salvation that we've been talking about. And that's what they're looking for. And they don't. And nobody's going to stand in their way. You're not going to stop them. See? And you reach that point by meditation, by initiation, through drugs, through religious rituals. The elite, and this is scary, folks, at the very top, offer human sacrifice. And they love to offer children. They offer that. They take. This is why you would be amazed at how many children come up missing in this country every year and are never heard from again. They're gone. And that woman down there in Georgia, the state representative, the state senator in Georgia, she got it. She started into an investigation to find out what's happening to all these children that got into the program. She's a good Christian woman. I never can remember her name. Schaefer. Thank you. Schaefer. What was her first name? Nancy Schaefer. Fine, decent, good Christian lady. God bless her soul. And she started unfolding stuff, and one door began to open into another door. And she got into this thing where they were trafficking in children. And the trafficking in the children went higher and higher and higher and higher and higher, higher levels. And these little children were coming up missing, and they were being used as sacrifices. You know what happened to her? They murdered her. They murdered her and made it look like a murder-suicide. She died in bed with her husband, made it look like, I think her husband killed her and then killed himself or something of that nature. They always cover up their tracks like that. But she got too deep into it. And then over here in Virginia, just a few years ago, it hadn't been a couple of years, I forget what he was an attorney general or something over there in Virginia, came out and publicly said, there's child trafficking going on in this country. How many remember that? And I don't remember who he was, but he came out publicly and said, there is child trafficking going on in this country. And, pardon?
Ted Gunther with the FBI, he's dead now.
Gunderson?
Yeah, he announced all this stuff.
Yeah. So, if you're talking about people that are willing to kill little children to sacrifice to their God, Lucifer, if they're willing to kill little children to do that, what do you think they'll do with you? They'll kill you in a heartbeat. I was reading a thing the other day, and I think I'm on the right trail finally, with John F. Kennedy. I don't buy the official party line for a second, and I think most of you don't. I don't think most of you buy the official party line of 9/11. No, I don't. I don't buy it. Steel buildings don't fall like that. Never have before, never have since. They don't do it. They don't do it. But anyway, John Fitzgerald Kennedy was shot to death in Dallas, Texas in 1963, supposedly by Lee Harvey Oswald. All right. A lot of theories have been set forth as to who killed him, even though they say, well, Oswald might have been a patsy, but who really killed him? Who really killed him? And one of the most plausible of everything else that I've ever read is this one theory right here. Right before Kennedy died, he made a speech to the country about secret societies. Secret societies. He sure did. And I believe that he was an impediment to the globalist, to the one world order. I believe that Kennedy, for all his faults, he had faults, but for all his faults, I think he was a patriot. And he loved his country. And he wanted to see America remain America, nationalistic in his view. And wasn't long after that, they murdered him. and Kennedy. And to me, that's the most plausible of all of the theories. And some say the mafia got him. Some say Cuba killed him. They got all kinds of stuff. I've read four or five different ones. But that's the one that makes more sense than anything because of what he said. Yes, sir.
I read also that Ted Kennedy met the Pope right before he gave that speech, and they asked him if he was going to follow the Constitution or the Catholic Church. And he says, we will follow the Constitution. And when he did that, he signed his death.
Well, yes, because, you know, that's 1963. I remember them asking him more than one time, how can you serve the Pope and the Catholic Church and serve the United States at the same time? The climate in the country was entirely different in 1963. It was a big deal for a Roman Catholic to run for president in 1963. Big deal, folks. I lived it. Go back and read your history books. If they don't tell you that, they're lying. I was there. And it was a big controversy in this country about John F. Kennedy being a Roman Catholic and could not be faithful to the Constitution of the United States. But like you say, he said he would support the Constitution. And I believe he did. I believe he did. I believe he paid for it with his life because he put the country before the globalist. So if we've got both parties in this country, and we do, we certainly do, that are pushing globalism, one world government, how far away are we from the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen. They're both pushing it. As I've said before, I think this country would do better if we had at least 15 political parties. It would do better if you did not have to raise millions and millions of dollars to run for office. When you have to raise millions and millions of dollars to run for office, you have to be connected with the elite. You have to be connected with them. The government could set up a finance committee and pay for your... And the way you'd get into it is if you could... You'd have to have, say, a petition go out and have to have 100,000 or 200,000 signatures, which would qualify you to be candidate for president and put you on the ballot. And you could have 15 different people on there running for president. Our country would be far better off. And get rid of the Republicans, Democrats, both. Yes, sir.
In Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 8, it talks about the Dead Sea becoming healed and fresh water flowing. And Zechariah chapter 47, verse 8, 9, and 10. Well, what's interesting is today, I was watching some YouTube videos, and they were talking about over in Israel that they got these sinkholes around that are surrounding the Dead Sea. And in these sinkholes, fresh water is coming up, and fish are flourishing in these sinkholes around the Dead Sea. And they said that this is apparently something's happening to the Dead Sea. So, If this is the last days, we're very, 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 very
strange very things happening, huh?
Yes. It's got them all perturbed.
Yeah.
Well, it shouldn't happen. It's impossible for it to happen. The salty and
the... Oh, the Dead Sea is more saline than the ocean. And I don't think there's anything alive in the Dead Sea. That's why they call it that. Yes, sir.
We have one good thing to look forward to. God hasn't forgot us.
No, he hadn't.
That's right. One last push for his spirit to be with man.
Yes.
He will bring up a leader or a preacher preach on this. That will get you back going one last time before the end of time.
Yeah.
The spirit is going to dwell with man.
Yes.
Then he's going to pull his spirit back on this phone.
Yes, he will. Yes, sir.
Mr. Boston, do you believe that the elite have already selected the president and that there's any significance to voting?
Well, that's a good question. It really is. It could be that they're going to appease the populace and put Trump in there for a while, you know, so they can gather their forces again because they can see that the country's rising up against globalism. Like I say, he could be a Trojan horse, you know, to make people think, well, the country is going to get back on the right track again. This is not to put Trump down, but it's to show you how that they can manipulate stuff like that. Sure. And buy a little time until they're ready to do it. And sure, it could be. Yeah, because people are waiting. They're waking up. They're really beginning to wake up to globalism. Yes, sir.
But until we get back to the Word of God.
Yes, sir. This is the book. This is what life's about. This book. It's truth from cover to cover. And anything else is a pack of lies. I believe the Bible. So you're a Bible thumper. I'm a thumper, buddy. I'm a hidebound Bible thumper. Proud of it.
Yes, sir.
You were speaking about the force a while ago.
Yes, sir.
How many times in a popular movie that we've seen?
Oh, boy. Everywhere.
Did you hear, "May the force be with you"?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, the universal mind, the force. It's not a person, but it's a presence. It's a force. It's a power. Exactly. It's yeah. I've never watched any of them. Some people stood in line for hours to see all that stuff, but I know who you're referring to because I've read enough about it. Yeah. All right. We'll have a word of prayer.
We'll go. Yes, sir.
Well, do you believe that America is in the Bible?
Well, that's a good question. Because if America is in the Bible, America is in prophecy. See, that's the idea. Well, I'll tell you one thing. When it talks about Babylon over there burning in the book of Revelation, there's an awful lot of things about Babylon that look like the United States. You can take an ancient map of Babylon, lay it down, and superimpose over the top of that ancient or the city of New York right now. You can put the two of them together, and they're practically identical. That's a strange coincidence.
Jeremiah 51.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jeremiah 51 also says that country is surrounded by water.
Uh-huh.
Babylon ain't surrounded by water.
No, it's got the Tigris. I forget which river, Tigris, Euphrates, one of them.
Down.
Pardon?
It said the lofty towers moving down.
Yeah.
It's wind tower.
I know it. You can take a dollar bill. Somebody took a dollar bill one time, folded it up. You fold it up the right way, and it looks just like the Twin Towers. How many's ever seen that? I don't know who ever thought that up. But sure, I'm not going to discount that. It could be the United States. Is that Babylon that they're talking about? Yes, sir. All right. Yes, sir.
You were reading Albert Pike. Is that from Morals and Dogma?
Yes, sir. No, I don't. All you got to do is just do a Google on Pike plus Lucifer. Just Google Pike plus Lucifer, and you'll pull it right up. But you'll not only pull that up, you'll pull up other references, other statements he made at other places that aren't part of morals
and dogma. Yeah.
Isn't
yeah.
it funny how we're moving Jesus Christ out of this country, how this country has rejected Christ, and how Lucifer is just moving in and coming over?
Yes, he is.
I was reading an article last night about initiating these Lucifer clubs, these satanic clubs for kids after school, starting in the third grade.
Boy.
Yeah, I know.
Well, there's nobody preaching about separation of church and state with that, are there?
No.
All right.
There's
no one. Oh, no. All right, we'll meet at 5 after. We'll start church. It's 10 minutes till right now, so we'll give you time. Give you a few minutes of break there. Let's pray, and we'll let you go. Brother Tommy Chafin, will you dismiss us, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, thy very name is truth, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy, O Lord.
Yes.
Lord, the spirit of fear is not in us, Father. Lord, thank you for your coming.
Yes.
Lord, we ask you to bless this church, Lord. We ask you to bless our pastor. Bless his teaching. Lord, we ask you to this service today. Lord, in any glory, we give it all to you, Father.
Yes.
In this name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.